Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And as we're reading, I'll be reading out of Exodus chapter 25 for just a moment. The title of my message is The Presence of God. The Holy Spirit dwells inside every believer. That means we have the presence of God with us at all times. But do we really acknowledge the presence of God in our life? Because if we did, it would change how we lived. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the moment we get saved and we pray and we receive Christ as our Savior, He lives inside of us. And He wants to live through us to reach this world. So let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, but I'm going to read Exodus chapter 25, 10 through 14, or 15. The Bible says here, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold in it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And I shall make stays of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and shall put the stays into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. Then the stave shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it." So God did not want them staves and poles that are in the sides of the ark to be taken out of the ark. But that was how they were supposed to carry the ark. They were not supposed to touch the ark itself. When they carried it, they would be carried with the staves. The ark was covered with pure gold, which represents the holiness or the righteousness of God. But they were not to touch it. With that in mind, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4 now. Probably looking at verses 6 through 11. What's taking place here, Book of Samuel, Eli was the judge and priest in Israel at the time. He was the one who was supposed to be making atonement for sins. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were actually keepers of the door, and they were also priests there helping him. But as they would bring sacrifices in, they would corrupt the sacrifices. They would take the best meat for themselves. They would do some immoral things with women that came to offer sacrifices at the door. They were very corrupt. And God was getting ready to judge Israel and judge Eli for his wickedness, for not teaching his sons to do right, and for him actually not really doing obeying God as he should have. And the Philistines had came against the children of Israel at this point. They went into a battle. And when they went into the battle for the first time against the children of Israel, Israel was beaten very badly. Why did God allow that to happen? Because the children of Israel had rebelled against God. God told them not to let their sons and daughters marry the sons and daughters of the other nations. Why? Because the sons and daughters of the other nations would cause them to worship other gods. They would no longer obey the commandments of God's word. They would basically fall back into sin or fall into sin, and they would get far away from God. The problem here is they have no idea that the glory of God had already departed from Israel. That's why God is allowing the Philistines to basically judge them. And so they came up with an idea, let's come back and let's go get the Ark of God. Well, the Ark of God represented the presence of God, didn't it? When they were in the wilderness, God told them that anytime you see the Ark of God with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night move, they were to follow that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. The ark of God was moving, and they were to follow that. That was the presence of God. And every time a sacrifice in the holiest of holies had been done, the glory of God would fall upon that place, and the presence of God would be in that tabernacle. And they could rejoice and worship at the presence of God at the tabernacle. They represent God's presence. But God had already departed Israel. And now they said, let's take the Ark of God. Surely we take the Ark of God into battle with us, and it'll be with, and God's presence will be there, and surely we'll win. Look at verse 6 here. It says, and when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe is unto us, for there hath not been such a thing to heretofore. Now, when we were in Trinidad and also in Guyana, the Hindus worship 300 million different gods. They'll have a god, they'll have a goddess of light. And she's the one they pray to for God, for their God to provide their daily needs. And they have a god of knowledge. And I don't remember all the names. He is a half man, half elephant looking thing with a long nose and a man's body. And they pray to him. He's the god of knowledge. Don't you know that elephants have wisdom? Well, they pray to him as a god of knowledge. And we laugh at that. But the thing is, they live and die by that. And they have another man is a half monkey and half man. He represents power and be able to fight. And they have a god called Kali. It's a female god. And she's one of the most evil gods. She actually required human sacrifices at the time. And so when we see these Philistines having the god Dagon, you know, to them, seeing another god in the camp of Israel was just another god to them. They didn't realize he was the one true God. And so it says in verse 6 here that, well, verse 7, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe is unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. They also understood, they saw the battles that God had already given them before. And there was fear in their hearts. They said, woe unto us, for who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? And these are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, as ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons, Eli, Hophni and Phinehas were slain. The sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas were slain. And there ran man out of a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to the Shiloh and the same day with his clothes rent and with the earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, and he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I am fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel was fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God is taken. It came to pass when he made mention of the Ark of God that he fell from his seat backward by the side of the gate and his neck brake. And he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. She named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the Ark of God was taken. She seemed like she was one of the very few that actually had a desire for God in her life. She actually had some wisdom about the Ark of God, and the presence of God should have been with them. The glory has departed from Israel. They should have known this a long time ago. Let me say this. We're saved, and the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Jesus, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but many times we can live our life and not acknowledge the Holy Spirit even in our life. We can get so wrapped up in our own things and our own way of life, our own world, that we can forget about God even being with us. We can even get so involved in ministry things, and I'm all for serving God. Bus ministry, soul winning, visitation, all those things. We can get so wrapped up in that we reject, or not reject, but we forget the presence of God in our lives and His leadership and guidance. We get to a place we can become cold and ritualistic. You know, I met some sweet Christians here already. I can tell, you know, as we're singing and as we're testifying, the smile and the joy some of you have on your face. But if I'm honest with myself, and you are, we don't always have that joy, do we? Because we let our hearts grow cold. Now, the Philistines had the ark, but it turns out they wish they hadn't. You know, it's funny how the power of God was with them, against them, when the children of Israel couldn't even have any. You know, there's no miracle working in their lives with the ark of God in there. But they put the ark of the covenant in the house of Dagon. Ah, he's just another god. Let's put him in there. And that's what many of the Hindus will do. They'll first hear about Jesus Christ, and they'll want to add him on their shelf as another god, and they'll pray to him as another god. He is the one true God. The first night he was in the house of Dagon, they came in the next morning, and Dagon was bowing down, falling down off his pedestal, bowing down to the ark of God. They should have spoke to them pretty strong right there. So they stood him back up, and they went out that night and came back the next day, and Dagon had fallen over again, but his head fell off and all his hands, nothing but a stump laying on the ground. Thousands of their people were already dying. They knew something was wrong. They knew that there was a true God in Israel. But you would think they would repent of their sin. No, they hardened their hearts and sent the ark of God out of Israel. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "And the men did so and took the two male kine and tied them to a cart and set out their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emeralds." What they did, they came up with a plan to send the ark of God back to Israel. They took a new cart, a couple of milk kine, I believe it's probably milk cattle, tied them to the cart, put the ark of God on top of that with some golden emeralds and gold mice as an offering to the God of Israel, taking it back to Israel. And this is explaining how it happened. And then, verse 12, "And the kine took the straight way to the Beth Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right and or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh." And so the milk kine took the cart all the way back to where they had wanted it to go. They acknowledged that there was a true God in Israel, but they didn't want to have anything to do with him. It kind of reminds us of the world out there today. They want to see miracles. They want to see something happen, but they don't believe the Word of God. Until they believe the Word of God, their God's not going to show himself strong. Maybe God will choose to do that sometimes. But men need to have faith. It doesn't come by sight or seeing things. It comes by believing the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you, Lord, for the chance to preach. And as I continue to preach, Father, I ask you to fill me with your power. Speak to our hearts through your word. And I pray you'd help us to acknowledge your presence in our lives every day, every moment of the day, and cause us to live that way, Father, knowing that you're with us, that you're a holy and righteous God. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Now, after the Philistines take the ark carcass taken to Beth Shemesh, the Bible says in verse 19 of the same chapter, "He smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people of the people, 50,000 and 70 men, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a grand slaughter." Well, they got the ark of God when it came to them. They were celebrating. They were praising God. They took the cart, and they broke it up, and they offered sacrifices. They offered those cattle as sacrifices upon that on the cart and that wood, and they were praising and thanking God that the ark was brought back into Israel. But someone had the boldness to look inside the ark of God. They're not even supposed to touch it. They're looking inside of it, and God killed 50,000 of the people. When we worship and we praise God and we serve God, it should be according to His Word. And we need to obey God's Word. Many times in our Christian lives, we're not obeying God's Word. We have feelings and we have emotions, and we feel like we need to make this decision whether God's Word says it or not. And we find ourselves in trouble many times because we go against God's Word. The preacher may preach something, and he says something, and we're going to get angry, and we're going to get vexed. He shouldn't be preaching saying things like that. Well, the Word of God says is how we're supposed to live and we're supposed to do. Don't get mad at the preacher. It's what the Word of God says. Don't get mad at God. It's what He says. God loves us. He knows what's best for us. The next verse, in verse 20, the Bible says, and the men of Beth-Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy God, holy Lord God? And to whom shall we go up? Shall He go up from us? They wanted to send the ark of God away again. The presence of God is in their camp, and they couldn't stand the holiness of God. They had to send them away. Why not turn their hearts to God and allow God to do the work in their hearts that He wants to do instead of sending God away? But we know people who live day after day, week after week, harden their hearts and will not submit to God's authority. And I'm hoping there's no one here today like that, but if there is, please don't do that anymore. Let God have His way in your heart. Verse 21 says, and they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. And 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 says, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. There is some recognition of God there. They sanctified Eleazar. You know, exactly how they sanctified him, we don't exactly know. They probably, I'm sure he bathed, I'm sure he put on a clean garment, and I'm sure they prayed over him in some way. It came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The ark of the Lord was in there with Israel, but the presence of God still hadn't come in. Exactly why? Because the people probably hadn't even desired to offer a sacrifice unto God. The Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Lord, was where they made sacrifices too. The Philistines came after them one more time. And they lamented, they called upon God, and they called upon Samuel to come and offer sacrifices upon again. And Samuel said, if you turn your hearts to the Lord, I'll sacrifice. And they did, and the people rejoiced. That's when they ended up getting King Saul. God didn't want them to have a king, but they chose to go their own way. Again, a desire to turn away from the Word of God and to do their own thing. They got their king, but the Ark of God still stayed at Kirjath-Jearim even after King Saul was there. Why didn't King Saul have a desire to bring that Ark up into Israel or where he was dwelling? Maybe it wasn't God's will. But you see, the people did not have a hunger for God. They liked their lifestyle. They don't like change. When people want to have their own way and do their own thing, they don't want to change for nothing. You know? But once change comes, we get out of our comfort zone, what happens? We need God, don't we? And that's where God wanted them. You know, my boy's been playing guitar about a year and a half now. And when they started playing and we were out on deputation, I started asking them to sing songs with us. You know, we were singing a cappella for a while, then they had to get up and start playing. I said, Daddy, we don't know how to play that well. Well, do your best. And so they sang a couple songs and they learned to trust, hey, God's going to help us. And then they would tell me, Daddy, don't tell the preacher that we sing. That didn't work. Why? Because I wanted them to learn and see God working in their lives. Because they need God to help them. and God's blessed them and provided different instruments for them. They learn to sing and they learn to do that. And I hope they'll never get used to singing for when they learn to trust, keep trusting God. But they learn to see God working in their lives as well as our lives on deputation. So probably in maybe 25, maybe 30 years, the ark of God had not been where it was supposed to be. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Again, all this time, the children of Israel did not have God's presence near them. How long do we want to live without God's blessings and encouragement in our lives? I can see by your faces many times that you're walking with God and you know God's presence. Some of the people that smiled and many people that their hearts were touched by something in the presentation or whatever. But not everybody can do that. Yeah, I watched my wife for 20 years. I watched her worship and sing and praise God. I'd go and do the same thing she was doing, but I wasn't getting the results. I didn't know the Lord. But 5 years ago when I got saved, it was different. I understood what she was going through. First, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. The Bible says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal to Judah to bring up thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah, Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, and even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Now I believe David had a motivation that was right to want to bring the ark of God back. David's biggest mistake was not doing it according to God's plan and God's way. Well, how did they bring the ark of God up? They put it on a cart. Where'd they get the idea to put the ark of God on a cart? Now, the king was supposed to, when he became king, was supposed to make a copy of the Word of God. He would have had a copy of the Word of God. He should have known. They copied the Philistines. What happens when a Christian start copying the world? They had 30,000 men there, and they had singers and psalteries and harps, and they were singing and praising God, but God was nowhere near them. Does that sound like some things we're hearing and seeing today? They have big churches, and they're singing and praising God, but where is God? They didn't see the holiness of God. And the Bible says that David was displeased. Verse 9 says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. The Bible says he was a Gittite, not a Levite. But there was something about Obed-Edom the Gittite that there was a hunger for God there. Somehow, some way, he had a reverence for God because he understood the ark of God was what it was. And David took that ark to his house. And the Bible says, God blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all his household for 3 months. How did God bless him? We don't know how God blessed his household. His wife probably got pregnant and had triplets. I don't know. His cattle probably had more cattle. And his sheep probably had more sheep. And his servants probably had more servant kids. Exactly how God blessed him, I don't know. But Obed-Edom, the Gittite, man, he was thanking and praising God because he was worshiping God and God was blessing his house. You know, once God starts blessing you and you see God working, don't you want to continue in God's blessings? But He wants to bless you. He wants to add goodness and grace and mercy in our lives. And, you know, blessings aren't always financial, but it could be a part of it. You know, your children can get saved. Family members can get saved. That's a blessing. God can provide your needs, and God can even extend the life of your car. I had a Dodge Caravan. We came back off the field. Someone gave us this Dodge Caravan. It had 118,000 miles. We drove it till it had 310,000 miles. God blessed us. You say, you drove that beat-up old thing. I wasn't paying anything on it. All I had to do was put gas and oil, and probably just about an oil as much as gas in it, but I drove it 300,000 miles. That's a blessing. But God wants to add blessings to your lives, and Obed-Edom realized that. And we see more about Obed-Edom in a little bit, but I want to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1 now. It's amazing how so much of the Word of God just ties into each other. Two or three different books away, going back and explaining some of the same things that we see, but even added a little more to it. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, "And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites." Wow, where did he find that out? Well, it was in the Word of God. And he says, "Them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark." Oh, we're supposed to carry the ark. Thanks, God. Thank you for showing me that. And it says, "The Lord, and to minister unto him forever." And we're going to drop down to verse 12 and 13. It says, "And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I prepared for it. Because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." Wow, we sought not him after the due order. Maybe before you buy that next car or buy that next house, you better seek God. Or that next job you got, will it take you out of church? We better seek God before we make that decision. For that we sought not him after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And back in 1 Samuel, or I believe 1 Samuel, it tells us how we did it. They had the Levites come and they would pick up the ark, and there were people in front of them singing praise and worshiping God. They take six paces. They put the ark down and they would sacrifice. And I believe they would take six more paces and offer sacrifices again. And they were celebrating and they were worshiping God. And David was praising God and he was excited. In fact, the Bible says David took off his clothes and he had something like a priest garment on it. Now that's kind of confusing, but I don't believe he was naked. He just removed his outer garments because he wanted to praise and worship God freely. And people celebrated, and he blessed Israel, and he gave them food, and they gave them sacrifices, and God was just with him. Although God judged Michael for criticizing, that's another story. Criticism never works around God. But let's go back to our story. I want to talk about Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Who was supposed to carry the Ark of God? The Levites. And who was supposed to sing praise and worship in the temple? The Levites. Now, I'm not sure if a Gittite was a Levite, but my hunch is it's not a Levite. But let's look where Obed-Edom is. It says here in verse 18 of 1 Chronicles 15, "And with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jehaziel, and Sheremoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Messiah, and Mattathiah, and Elephaleth, and Milkaniah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeel, the porters." Now, what were porters? They were doorkeepers in the house of the Lord. All they did was keep the door. Didn't someone say in Psalms, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked"? God blessed the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. How did a Gittite get into Levite's position? I believe he went to King David. And King David, please, I had God's blessing on my life, and God, I want to be in the presence of God. Let me go into the house of God. I'll just be a doorkeeper. That's all I have to do. Why? Because he was in the presence of God, and he wanted that blessing. And the next one, I'll be done in verse 24. It says, and Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasiah and Zechariah and Benaniah and Eleazar, the priest, did blow with the trumpets before the ark of God. And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers. Another place says Obed-Edom was a player of a harp in the house of the Lord. But he was a Gittite. He wasn't even supposed to be there. But he wanted the presence of God, and he was there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace and mercy and your truth. Help us, Lord God, to be a people who hunger after your word and hunger after your truth, and also hunger for your presence. We know that your presence and obeying your truth is a greater way to dwell in your presence. Lord, I ask you to bless the rest of the remaining parts of this service. Father, we ask these things in your name. Amen.